Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Dawn B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Tuesday, May 20th, 2025, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book and we're on page 98, the second paragraph, Burn the Idea into the Consciousness, through one paragraph ending, Trusting God and Clean House. We'll be commenting on this one paragraph today. Today's readers are Chanel T., Letty G. Chanel T. will read the 12 steps, and Letty G. will read the 12 traditions. Readers of the text, Dana P., Alex K., and Chanel T. The reference number for Monday, May 19th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,446. That's 22446. And for this morning, Tuesday, May 20th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 22,448. That's 22448. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Hillary B., and Robin P. will do the announcements. Thank you to everyone providing service for this meeting. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I'll now ask Chanel T. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Hi, thanks, Dawn. Chanel T. in Washington State, recovered today by the grace of God. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you so much, Chanel T. I'll now ask Letty G. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Letty G., compulsive overeater in recovery for today. These are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Less problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you very much for allowing me to serve, and I wish everybody a beautiful day. I pass.
Thank you so much, Letty G. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study in the Big Book, and we're on page 98, that second paragraph, Burn the Idea into the Consciousness, through one paragraph ending, Trust in God and Clean House. And we'll be commenting on this one paragraph today. I'll now ask Dana P. to read and then share with us.
Good morning, Dawn. It's Dana P. in California, recovered today by the grace of God. Burn the idea into the consciousness of every man that he can get well regardless of anyone. The only condition is that he trust in God and clean house. Short and sweet, you know, it's like, isn't that the whole crux of the deal? There, this relationship with the higher power kind of made me think about another little clip in the book where it says wife or no wife, job or no job. And I would add sponsor or no sponsor, friend or no friend. When we get to that place to where we're completely lost of people, places, and things, and we're on our knees, then we look to see if maybe there is something else. And I had to let go of all expectations. You know, I grew up with this idea that the knight in shining armor would come, or somebody else would come and save me and fix me. And the truth is, you know, no one is coming. I have to go to a place where I can learn and develop a relationship with a higher power. And I had to be desperate enough. And really, you know, even in abstinence, I had to come to that place of desperation, loneliness, sadness. That made me think of Bill W. and this letter that he wrote, being sober. How many years? He got sober in 1935. He wrote this letter, I believe it was in 1952, to the Grapevine magazine. And he's talking about emotional sobriety, excuse me. And I go to this paragraph where he says, suddenly I realized, and this is a man who was depressed up until practically the day he died, but this certainly began to change his life. And he wrote the 12 by 12. But he says here, suddenly I realized what the matter was. My basic flaw has always been dependence, almost absolute dependence on people or circumstances to supply me with prestige, security, and the like. And I might add abstinence. Failing to get these things according to my perfectionist dreams and specifications, I had fought for them. And when defeat came, so did my depression. So, you know, it's one of those things I keep thinking that the answer is outside of myself, when really it's inside of myself. And I didn't know how to do it. I got to a place where I began to understand that it wasn't outside of me, but I didn't know how to do it. And when I came to this program, sorry, there's my time and I'll finish, but I realized that the solution was in the steps. And when they talked about cleaning house, it wasn't about dusting and vacuuming. It was cleaning out all of the thoughts and ideas that I had in my mind that no longer served me. So I'm going to pass with that. Thank you so much. Everybody have a great day.
Thank you so much, Dana P., for getting us started. And I'll now take the list of names of people who would like to share in this paragraph. Although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us today?
Michelle C.
Michelle C.
Ian F.
Ian F.
Miss Joe.
Pardon, was that Joe?
Yes, Joe.
And what's your initial, Joe?
Oh, Joe G. from Washington State.
Joe G. Okay, very good. Who else would like to share? Press star
Wendy
one.
Wendy M.
Wendy M.
Joan Marie M.
Joan Marie M. Well, that's a beautiful lineup we have. I have Michelle C., Ian F., Joe G., Wendy M., and Joan Marie M. Michelle
Bruce
C.
E.
And Bruce E. Okay. Very good. Let's start with Michelle C., and please let us know where you're calling from, Michelle.
Hi, good morning. This is Michelle C. from California. This paragraph this morning just hit me again, like just it's right there, plain, simple, and black and white. To, you know, our job is to trust God and clean house. And I am on step, you know, 8, 9, and 10. Step 8 has been just really challenging for me with the, drafting my amends. And I've been taking, I don't know, maybe a month or so to do it. I've overcomplicated it in my mind, and I just need to do it. I just need to get this really clear, simple language out there, and that I need to do it. And I feel like all the signs from yesterday's reading to different little subtle signs I've been seeing, it's, Michelle, you need to learn to trust God and clean house. So just putting it out there that I'm going to finish my step 8 amends drafts again, and I'm looking forward to cleaning house soon. With that, I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Michelle C. from California. Ian F., it's your turn to share, followed by Joe G., and please let us know where you're calling from, Ian. Good morning.
Hi, this is Ian F., compulsive overeater in Indiana. Really grateful to be here. Thank you for taking the meeting. I have a disease of caveat, is how I interpret this paragraph. I'm always putting conditions on. I would say on my faith, but when I say faith, I really just mean the fundamental belief that I'm going to pray. When I came into program, I had a list of things in my head that I thought I needed to solve before I stopped eating compulsively. I was dealing with my sexual orientation. I was about to go to college. I was about to move out of my parents' place for the first. There were all these things that I was like, well, maybe once I solve this stuff, the compulsive eating will go away. And the funny thing is that for some people who have eating disorders, that's true, right? They're just coping. But for us, I am always going to put a condition on whether I'm going to be okay. You know, and like this paragraph says, what my sponsor told me was, you're going to have to change a lot because you're moving off to college. you can recover regardless of the circumstances, right? And something that's fundamental to how we work this program is like you can recover at any time. there's barring you from that. If you can be honest, you know, if you believe that you know, if you want to stop, you believe that you are powerless and you're willing to do what the steps ask you to do, you will recover, right? There's no reason to put caveats on this thing. And I do this all the time, even being a recovered person. Like, I think that if I just listen to the right music when I get in the car in the morning, my work day will be great. That's not how it works. That relationship with God is now, you know. And if we're supposed to rely on a higher power to recover, it always has to be, I can connect at any time. There's no caveat. God does not need us to make excuses to get with him. He's there if we reach out, you know, or they're there if we reach out. So that's what I got. I love you guys. Look forward to the shares on this.
Thank you so much, Ian F. from Indiana. Joe G., it's your turn to share, followed by Wendy M. Go ahead, Joe. Star one, Joe.
Well, hello, this is Joe. Is it self-timed? And if so, how much time?
You have 3 minutes, Joe, and I'll time you.
Okay, great. Okay, appreciate that. Thank you. I thought this paragraph was really powerful for two sentences. And the way I related to the get well regardless of anyone, that includes myself. And I would say my number one alcoholic food is something that is ubiquitous in society. And I feel a certain amount of social pressure to, and I'm not over that sense of social pressure around this number one alcoholic food of mine. And I had a slip last night with regard to this under the idea of sort of entitlement and social pressure. I feel kind of like a newcomer, which I've been in 12-step program for a long, long time. And, but around this particular alcoholic food, and part of the entitlement is like, hey, my life's going okay. I don't really want to go into a whole lot of detail about it. Specifically, I just feel kind of embarrassed as a longtime 12-stepper that I still struggle with this alcoholic food. But part of the entitlement is, oh, I've given up so much in other programs. Why can't I still get away with this? And being a control freak is part of my addictive pattern. So it's certainly shown itself in many other aspects of my life, and it's certainly true for this alcoholic food. But I just can't get away with the control strategies, long term. It just doesn't work, and I've proven that over and over again. And I proved it to myself last night. One more time. Along those lines, I did have a thought that I could use a sponsor in this program, and if there's a way that could happen, I don't know how this meeting operates with regard to that question, but be happy to stick around afterwards, talk to the newcomer greeter, whatever. Kind of looking for somebody who'd be interested in mainly in sponsorship by email. Just throw that out there. And with that, I will pass. Thank you so much. Great meeting. I love this meeting. Normally I kind of just listen to it, but I'm sharing today. Thanks.
Well, thanks so much, G. Joe G. from Washington, and please stick around to the very end of the meeting when we allow newcomers a chance to announce their names and numbers if they haven't done so before, and also sponsors will give their names and numbers. All right. Well, Wendy M., it's your turn to share, followed by Joan Marie M. Go ahead, Wendy.
Yeah, good morning, Dawn. Thank you for your service. Always good to hear your voice and everybody on the line. I love the honesty I feel like, you know, when I'm honest, that's when I get God. That's a true surrender. When I call one of you guys and I say, this is what happened, this is what I did, right? That's when I get God, with the honesty. I want to talk about God and cleaning house. This is good, regardless of anyone. So I spent my life depending on people, emotionally depending on them. I mean, I had an expectation of everybody, truly. And your job was to basically take care of me. And I heard something like yesterday, I think, I'm either vastly dependent on you or vastly demanding of you. That really, truly was my inventory. And this says, oh, my goodness gracious, that's not going to happen. So let's talk about cleaning house. So what does not cleaning house look like? Not cleaning house looks like blaming, depending, demanding, and excuses, right? Like, so cleaning house for me is taking responsibility. This program is what I call a growing up program, right? It's a program of change where we get to go, at least for me, from a child state to an adult state, right? So cleaning house is taking responsibility for my life, my actions, my thoughts, my behavior, my relationship to food, my sponsees, everybody. It's growing myself up with God's help. So that's what cleaning house looks like. And then God, I consider God a verb. I always say, I don't know if I believe in God, but I experience God constantly. And often on this line, I'll hear, go to God, be with God, trust God. And I want to know, what does that mean? Like, what does that look like? So for me, because God is a verb, if I'm treating you correctly, I get God. If I'm about to gossip, but then I don't, I hold back, I get God. If I tell my son it's perfectly fine to drop out of college, in fact, how can I be helpful? That's God, right? So I experience God all the time. It's how I treat you. It's how I treat myself. When I weigh and measure my food and I eat what I tell my sponsor I'm eating for that day, that's God. When I don't eat that food or I eat more food, what happens to me? I'm out of sync with God. I've got a course correct. If I speak poorly to you, I've just lost God. So I'm either with God, in God, doing God's will. And that's what we mean by trust God. Trust God is a verb, right? It's a, oh my God, I'm about to tell somebody the truth. I may not look good in this situation, but I'm telling you the truth. I get God. It's not about looking good. It's not about being a good girl. It used to be. Now it's just about getting well. The only way I can get well is telling you the truth about anything, especially when I'm afraid to tell you. That's fine. Jumping off the cliff and trusting God has a net. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Wendy M. from Colorado. Joan Marie M., it's your turn to share, followed by Bruce E. And if you happen to be just joining us, we're on page 98, talking about that second paragraph that starts with, burn the idea into the consciousness through one paragraph ending, trusting God and clean house. So go ahead, Joan Marie, please share with us.
I will. Thank you, Dawn, for your service and everyone that shared so well today. Burn the idea. You know, that's a strong statement. And regardless of anyone, you can get well. Well, also, I would say any condition, any circumstances, because life does get lifey at times. And when the spiritual malady is taken care of, the physical will manifest. This program is spiritual in every aspect and divinely inspired by a power greater than myself, who I call God. He's awesome and true and faithful. But I have to do what I have to do, and I leave the rest to Him. God's not going to do what I can do. He will do what I can't do. I couldn't stop eating compulsively. And God did for me what I could never do for myself. And the condition is to trust God. To me, trusting God is prayer, asking, God, I don't know how to handle this situation, but you do, so I'm going to let you. And it always works out. When I had tried before to work it out, it never did. And with God, all things are possible. And I'm so grateful to hear everybody share and talking about a power greater than ourselves. And with that, I pass. Thank you all.
Thank you so much, Joan Marie M. from Nevada. Bruce E., it's your turn to share. And following Bruce's share, I'll be taking a list of more people who would like to share on this paragraph. Go ahead, Bruce.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm Bruce E. I'm recovered in Florida and Sanibel, Florida. And I've been in this program a long time and never really knew what the heck was wrong with me here, that I always try to use food to fix me. And then I ran around and tried to fix everybody else, not with food, but with my advice. And things really right now just aren't going my way, you know. I got wife is in the hospital, a broken ankle, and probably going to be getting out today or tomorrow. But I want her to go to a rehab, and she didn't want to. She wants to come home. So my sponsor said, just let it go. You know, tell her what you feel, and then let it go. So I'm trying to do that. And that goes back to this part in the big book about trust God. That is a verb. Yeah, I believe trust is a verb. I'm not sure I remember my English, but trust God. So, man, that means a lot. You know, it means not trusting in food anymore. Not trusted in myself, not trusted in other people. It means trusting in an entity that I can't see. And, man, I'm going to need help on that one. So maybe just all day today, I need to think in terms of just trust God, you know, just trust God. Things don't go my way. You know, people don't read from my scripts. Trust God. Man, so easy to say and so hard to do, but I think I'm able to do that. God does for me what I can't do for myself. And I'm not a bad person trying to get better. Okay, I'm not a bad person trying to get better. I'm a sick person trying to get well. And so there's something in that food ingredients, or something in that whatever that food item, that causes me to think that that can make me well, that can make me feel better. And it's a lie, you know. I mean, the high is a lie, right? I want to get high from it, and that's a lie. So something makes me think, and I don't even think it's consciously I'm thinking about that. I think it's just unconsciously I'm thinking food can make me well, and it can't. That's a lie. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Bruce E. from Florida. Well, we're talking about page 98, that second paragraph, burn the idea into the consciousness through one paragraph ending, trust in God and clean house. And I'll now take a list of names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us? Margot B.
Happy Morgan.
Robbie,
Nancy L.
I heard Margot B. and Nancy L. Who else was in
Kathy
there?
Kathy P. from Oregon.
Robin.
Kathy P. Oregon.
Sheila O. from Massachusetts.
Sheila O. Massachusetts.
Faye H.
Was that Faye H.?
Robin P. I don't know if you got me.
And Robin P. Okay. All right. Let me tell you who I have, and you let me know if I miss someone. I have Margot B., Nancy L., Kathy P., Sheila, and I didn't get your initial. And then I have Faye H. and Robin P. Did I miss someone? All right. Let's go with Margot B. Please let us know where you're calling from, followed by Nancy L. Go ahead, Margot.
Hi, Margot B. from New York. Thank you so much for the service and the comments around the room. Great to claim my seat. Very rarely do I share at this meeting, but I'm so grateful because I hear so much, and God is just so, so good. Yesterday I found myself feeling very irritable, and I'm like, what is going on? And I really had to pray and ask the Lord, like, what is happening here? And I felt very, very unsupported around something. And dang, right here I hear it. You know, clean house, trust God. The levels of that go so deep, burn into the consciousness. It has to be in my consciousness because a lot of my motives, a lot of my inner workings are on an unconscious level, but it's only through this work and using the tools of the program to get into conscious contact with my higher power, who I choose to call God, more is revealed. And what I was doing was I was holding on to this unconscious hope of getting rescued and getting the right people and getting, you know, the support, yada, yada, yada. And then I started praying. I said, God, what am I supposed to get out of this? Lord, show me how to see this differently. And, you know, it was about rely on me only, not people, places, and things. There's a difference between support and getting rescued. And I wanted to get rescued. There's a difference. And my support, I have to, you know, use the tools of the program. There's no doubt about that. But they all lead to the road to my God, you know what I'm saying? And I need to rely on him absolutely. And that word absolutely has layers and layers. And I'm just so grateful that I saw that today and the Lord and God revealed that to me. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Margot B. from New York. Nancy L., it's your turn to share, followed by Kathy P., and please let us know where you're calling from.
Thank you, Don. Hi, everybody. This is Nancy L., recovered in Arizona. Welcome, newcomers. That last sentence, both sentences are awesome. The condition is that he trusts in God and clean house. And I am so grateful it doesn't say that he clean house and trust God. Because for me, when I'm literally cleaning this house that I'm sitting in, I don't have to trust God. I just like to clean anyway, so I clean. But when it comes to my food and putting down my trigger foods and serving and sponsoring, I cannot do it without God and without trusting him. And it's on a daily basis. The trust I had in God yesterday does not carry over in today. It's got to be a brand new day to have that quiet time and pray and make my commitments for the day. And then as I go through the day, you know, just leaning heavily on God to help me stay abstinent, to help me do it happily. I can eat the kind of food that's good for me now happily and not regret that I can't go eat like I used to, because that was killing me. I was 100 pounds overweight, and it was just climbing and climbing every single month. I had no hope, no way out. But I found the way out. Thank you, God. I found the way out today. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Nancy L. from Arizona. Kathy P., it's your turn to share, followed by Sheila.
Hi, Kathy P. from Oregon. I just grateful to be on the line this morning. And you know, just this God consciousness, I'm coming so stronger in my consciousness with God, and it's just a wonderful feeling. And, you know, when I put my foot forward and I do the footwork, you know, God's there to guide me and help me. You know, I went on a trip with the family, and it was harder with the food, with what they were eating, but God was with me and I made it through. I didn't want to go into relapse. I wanted to continue, you know, staying on my food plan, and he was with me. And I'm reminded that God loves me the way I am. God loves my daughter the way she is, even though she has some mental issues, that God loves her. And I need to not feel bad for her or sorry for her, because God has her and God's going to take care of her. And I did a face plant the other day on the cement, and you know, I felt God was there. I mean, it could have been so much worse where how I got hurt. You know, God said to me, well, Kathy, you know, you got to worry about where you put your feet, you know, so you don't trip. But just like I have to do the footwork, but I'm gonna guide you. I'm going to help you. So I just feel really blessed that I wasn't hurt more than I was. So with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kathy P. from Oregon. Thank you so much, followed by Sheila from, if you could give us your initial. And
hi, I'm Sheila O. from Massachusetts.
Very good. Go ahead, Sheila, followed by Faye H. Go ahead.
I just want to say I'm happy to be at the meeting today. And I just coming back from relapse. And I have something that I worked on years ago. It's a counted cross stitch. And I really have grown to love it through the years. And it has a picture that I weaved into the fabric of a shepherd. And then there's little sheep on the bottom. And it says, when you can't sleep, don't count sheep. Talk to the shepherd. And so I never really thought that much, but I don't know, I've grown to love it, and because I have an illness and addiction to food, and I don't want to count sheep, I don't want to buy candy or junk food or overeat and be miserable. And they say that sheep can be like in the fields for a while, and then they come back and they just have to sniff on the fabric of the shepherd. That's all they have to do, is like give him a little nod, sniff his clothes, and they're gone again. And so that's what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be with my good shepherd, and I'm 83 years old, and I'm a day at a time, I hope to recover again from this illness. Thank you very much for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Sheila O. from Massachusetts. Faye H., it's your turn to share, followed by Robin P.
Hi, it's Faye H. from New York. You hear me?
Yep, we hear you fine. Go ahead.
Okay, great. Thank you all for your service. I'm Faye H., a compulsive overeater. It's the first time I'm sharing, so yeah, I guess it's also a miracle. So, I mean, I'm used to getting my way by controlling things. I think that I have a way of getting what I want to get. So, when people said that you just need to do the program and the 12 steps and then recovery will just come to you, I just couldn't understand that. And then slowly now I'm seeing that my control is not really bringing recovery closer. It's really me just doing the steps, just doing 11 steps a night and doing 10 steps and putting myself out there to sponsor. This is actually what's bringing me recovery. So instead of doing so many things to control, I can just do 12 steps and that's it, and I can get what I'm looking for. So, yeah. Thank you so much. Well, I pass.
Thank you so much, Faye H., for sharing with us from New York. Robin P., it's your turn to share, and then I'll take another name. And we're talking about page 98 today, that second paragraph, burn the idea into the consciousness through one paragraph ending, trusting God and clean house. Go ahead, Robin.
Hi, thank you so much. Thanks, Dawn, for your service and everyone who makes this meeting possible. I'm Robin P. I'm a really grateful recovered compulsive overeater currently in Houston on our way to Austin. Burn the idea into the consciousness of every man that he can get well regardless of anyone. And when I came into the program over 9 years ago when I got abstinent, over 9 years ago by God's grace and mercy one day at a time, I was divorced and I just thought my life was over. And, you know, the miracle was I got recovered. My husband came into a different program. He got recovered. We got remarried. Like, all of these miracles came. But I had to put God in my recovery first. And, you know, I still have a tendency sometimes to, I think, over-rely on my husband. And so I just get to keep going, oh, God first. And I'm so grateful that I'm very active in my recovery. And, you know, I really love sponsoring and I, you know, a two-way prayer partner, act partner. I have a lot of support. And, you know, I always believe in reaching up and reaching out and practicing that. And I'm just so grateful that I really do my best to stay very connected to the program and trusting God and cleaning house. You know, so I do two-way prayer with a partner once a week. And that's where I write a question to God. I think a lot of people are familiar with it. And let God answer. And I've written for months about these two dogs who we've rescued from Costa Rica and who are with us now because no one would adopt them in Costa Rica because there's so many home dogs. So I've always gotten, you need to let them go to a, you know, and I always, this is the thing, you know, I get to trust God in all my affairs because this still, my action partner is so kind and patient. I still go, I don't know if that's right. You know, it's so funny. Trust God, clean house in every area of my life. Not a nook and cranny that I just go, oh, yeah, this, I'm going to handle this myself. God, thanks so much. I'll get back to you. No. By the way, I have a cold. Sorry about that. So I just really, in every area of my life, I get to be fully surrendered. And I feel like, you know, surrendering the food and surrendering so many things that I've done through the steps over the years is just laying the groundwork for the next surrender and for the next surrender. And I've always found that it's so much better to do God's will than my will. You know, my will has never, ever worked. And yet that illusion of control that, you know, I got this.
Time.
You know, I don't, thank you. I know that God is God, and I have God in me, and I just get to be a faithful servant and do my best to be of service to God and my fellows in all my affairs. Thank you so much. God bless you, Dawn, and everyone on this meeting. I'm sending you all so much love.
Thank you so much, Robin P., now in Texas. And now I'm going to take a name or two. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share?
Annabelle Z.
Annabelle
Rob
Z.
H.
And at Rob H. Okay, if you both could take just 2 minute shares. Annabelle Z, go ahead.
Good morning. This is Annabelle Z. I'm a compulsive overeater in Washington State, and it's been a really long time since I've shared on this meeting. It's so, so good to just open my mouth and say that I'm back, and this is day two of abstinence. So I'm really fresh again. But what a perfect thing to hear from you this morning, trust God and clean house. So I'm feeling really Rob at peace because the food is not peaceful at all. And there are, you know, days of I'm good and days of this is awful and days of I'm good. And it just, roller coaster, and I want peace. So the last couple of days I've had peace because I trusted God and I asked God. And that was really amazing to just ask God. And so I'm ready to clean some debris up and sweep up the damage I caused. Not really other people, but definitely myself and my psyche. So I'm glad to be here. Thanks so much for listening. And I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Annabelle Z from Washington. Rob H., it's your turn to share.
Thanks. Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to say either. I got on the meeting late, but I just heard the last person say trust God, so that's pretty good. I definitely need to do that today. Is trust God. I did some meditation this morning, and it was really helpful. Reading that 86 through 88, and actually doing what it said on there. It's funny when you read this stuff over and over again, it starts to, start to sink in a little bit, hopefully in the right way. But, it was just felt really good to have some insight into things. And, just you spend an hour in the morning meditating on what you're going to do that day, you're probably going to come up with something, and hopefully it comes from a higher power, but you're probably going to come up with something and your day's going to get better. So, yeah, I know I'm not sharing on the paragraph, but I'll pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Oh, thank you so much. And Rob, do you want to let us know where you're calling from?
Sure, New York.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Well, we have time for another share if someone would like to take it. Got about a minute and a half left. Someone like to take that time if you haven't shared in the last couple days?
Sarah P. Hi.
Sarah P.
Patricia Sarah P. P. And Tom.
Sarah T. Go ahead. You were the first person, and those other voices I heard. Please come back tomorrow. Go ahead, Sarah.
Yeah, just meditation in God and letting Him direct my way. I keep getting back to step one. Admit to myself, my life is unmanageable, and let God, I surrender to God and say my life is unmanageable. I was on day four of abstinence yesterday, and then I hurt my foot, so I was mostly bedbound or, just crawling on your knees to get stuff, and I made phone calls and outreach calls and did devotionals and meditation and phone calls and service that I could, and then by 6 at night, my roommate had made me dinner since I wasn't able to cook very well like I normally am, and she had got bread and cheese in it. Oh, okay.
Thanks. Sarah, do you want to let us know where you're calling from?
Sarah T., Colorado.
Perfect. Sarah T., Colorado. Thank you so much. And to everyone who shared, and we're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Alex K. please read a vision for you? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you, Dawn. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.